Hello, everyone, and welcome to 2019. This is April Hughes, and I am going to be talking about vision boards today. So with the new year coming on, it's 2019. One of the things I really love to do with my students as they come back to the classroom after the long break is to create vision boards. This is a tool that I use to renorm the classroom expectations, to ease in the students to get back into the routine of things, and to give them some focus as they're coming off that 2 or 3 week break. So I start out by talking about the purpose of a vision board and why people make vision boards. And then I show them some examples of different vision boards that I've done or that have that other students have done in the past. And then I like to show them a really good YouTube video from Love and Dare, who I follow on YouTube. She always has really great videos about journaling and time management, and they're really good for middle school, high school students. And so I show them her video. It's about 10 minutes long, and it's how to make a vision board plus current me versus future me. So I will also post that link onto this podcast so you can find it if you choose to use it. So we talk about the purpose of vision boards. I show them some examples, and then I give them the choice of either making a vision board the traditional way. So maybe they make a, you know, bring in magazines, they can cut out pictures in magazines, and then I give them either 12 by 12 cardstock or scrapbook paper that I pick up on clearance at Michael's or another craft store. And I tell them that I want them to pick, if it's a 12 by 12, I want them to pick somewhere around 4 to 5 pictures and then 4 to 5 words to attach onto their vision board. I don't like the students to use any more than that, because if it becomes too busy, then it kind of gets difficult to differentiate and see what's really going on. So I do try to limit the number of pictures and words that I want to see on the vision board so that they are being meaningful and purposeful on their selection. You decide how you want to do it in your own classroom and with whatever kind of materials you have available to you. Maybe you want to do it on construction paper, so I think that's 12 by 18. Whatever works for you with what materials you have available. I do give my students the option of drawing pictures or drawing their phrases. For the students that have artistic talent, this will motivate them and speak to them more than it will to cut out pictures. And then I give them the third option of creating a vision board on the computer. So there's a couple different ways that they can do that. They can maybe do it on a PowerPoint slide or a Google slide if they just want to use a Word doc and insert pictures and then play with word art. They can be pretty crafty when it comes to doing it on the internet also, and then I print it out for them in color. So unless it gets too much, I just do black and white. But depending on how many students you have and what your availability is, maybe you can do it in color, maybe you can do it in black and white. And so we create our vision boards, and then as a culminating activity, what I tell students is that we're going to do a classroom vision board. And this is usually a different day than we do individual vision boards, because I really like the students to take their vision boards home with them and post them somewhere like in their room where they're going to see it every single day or multiple times a day. And then our classroom vision board, what I want to tell students is that I want you to think about one picture or one image that represents a goal or something that's going to inspire you for the rest of the 2019 school year. So not only the end of this year, but going into the next grade, what does that look like for them? And what would a very important goal be for them? And maybe it can be around social emotional, maybe it's around grades, maybe it's around, you know, being kinder, maybe it's coming out of their shell. But I only let them pick one. They have to pick either one word or one phrase, and then we put it together. I usually go and get a pretty big poster board at the dollar store, and then I have students place their vision, whether it's a word, phrase, quote, or picture on the board, and then I'll label it whatever class period that is, and then I post it in the room. And I usually keep the vision boards up for at least a month so that when students are starting to struggle or get disengaged, I refer to the vision board and I say, remember what you said was going to be your vision for 2019 in the classroom or at school. And that might be very different from what they picked for their individual vision board. So maybe if they're really sports oriented, that was the focus on their individual vision board, but maybe something around academics was what they put for the classroom vision board. And I tell them that it's going to be up there, it's going to be posted, but only they are going to know which one is their image or picture or quote on that vision board. This is also really good, this activity, because it hits all of the different learning styles. So if you have students that are artistic, they get to draw. If you have students that like to cut out things and be crafty, it speaks to them. If you have students that really love to get on the computer and create, it also speaks to them. So the engagement is pretty high among the students with this activity. And then what we do is we hang it up, and I really am always astounded by how great these turn out. The students really are thoughtful about what the image is that they want to include on the vision board. And so it's really a nice way to reconnect and bond after coming back from the long Christmas break. It's a nice way to ease them back in instead of just diving right back into the curriculum. And then it's just turns out to be a really nice 1 or 2 day activity to get back into the swing of things. And depending on what grade level you teach and depending on what your resources are, you can get really fancy with this or you can keep it really simple. I always send out an email to fellow teachers and say if anybody has like travel magazines or any kind of magazines, they can bring them into my class, and so the students have a variety to choose from, or I let the students know ahead of time so they can bring them in. So that is the... Now that we have talked about the vision boards for the classroom, let's talk about doing some work for 2019 in regards to personal wellness. So one of my goals that I've had really since I did my yoga teacher training in the summer of 2018 was to journal every single day. And although I would really love to say that I do journal every day, I don't. I try, but there are days where it just does not happen. So what I did is I went to Amazon to look for some different journals that might help to keep me on track. So what I decided on was the 90-Day Gratitude Journal, A Mindful Practice for a Lifetime of Happiness. And this is by S.J. Scott and Barry Davenport. So I decided on this journal because it really gives you like why the world needs more gratitude. And it talks about how, you know, people often feel like they're surrounded by negativity, which happens quite frequently if you are working in a school system, because a lot of times it's a lot of, you know, bad news, not real good news. We never get news that, you know, we get extra money and our budgets get increased. It's always the opposite. So I decided on this journal, and I really like it because it talks about first how to build the gratitude journaling habit. And if you know anything about building habits, you know that you have to commit to something for at least 30 days or more in order to really develop a habit of it. And the other thing that I like is that it's super short. So the journal is really set up where there's the days, you put in the date, there's a really great quote at the top of each of the days. And then the questions is like a question stem that we would give our students. And this is why I like it, because you can really apply this to journaling in your classroom if that is a mindful goal of yours in your classroom. So the first question is, I am grateful for blank because blank. And then you have a few lines to write down what you are grateful for. And then they give you a second question, what am I looking forward to today or tomorrow? And there's about three lines there. And then the third question is different every single day. And I really like this because there's things like describe your happiest childhood memory. What is a popular song that you enjoy? What is a major lesson that you learned from your job? And you could tweak these if you were going to use them in the classroom. And then like, when was the last time you had a genuine belly laugh and why was it so funny? And it seems really simple that some, you know, these things would work, but honestly, it takes less than about 3 minutes to do it. I usually do it before I go to work in the morning, and it really just reminds me of the little things that we have to remind ourselves that we need to be grateful for. And I think that depending on the demographics and the situation of your students, it might bring more gratitude into their life if they experience a access. Or if you have students that are at the other end of the spectrum. So when you get done with your 90-day gratitude journal, the authors leave you some final thoughts on gratitude. So one of the things I want to remind you about doing a gratitude journal, whether you do one already or you're new to it, is that it has been proven to increase happiness, improve mental health, allow you to savor every positive experience, help you cope with major life challenges, create a sense of resilience in how you approach challenging experiences, boost your self-esteem, foster empathy for others, provide a better night's sleep, strengthen both your personal and romantic relationships. So I think you can see how this would not only improve your personal attitude and belief system, but you can apply these to the classroom and start building a community of gratitude within your students. You have to make a commitment to do it. And a good way maybe to do it is to tell your students that this is what you're doing with them and that you want to have them start it with you. And so maybe while they're doing their journaling prompt, if you tweak it a little bit, you're writing in your own journal. And so you're getting it done together in class and building that community impact. So that is my reminder about the importance of journaling every single day and specifically around the topic of gratitude. So stay tuned for the next segment, which I hope is coming out next Tuesday, unless my dissertation life gets in between me and my podcast, and I don't get it done. So remember, if you want to shoot me an email, I'm at lifetimeliteracystore@gmail.com. You can hit me up on my website at www.lifetimeliteracystore.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at lifetimeliteracy, or you can check out my Teacher Pay Teacher store, lifetimeliteracy-store, and always feel free to check out my blog at lifetimeliteracy.blog, and you can always subscribe to my podcast. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Mindful Teacher. Until we talk next time, have a wonderful week.